Hello, everyone, and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today we're finally going to be battling over Universal versus Disney Theme Park Edition with our special guest and theme park extraordinaire, Patrick Dougal. Hi, Patrick.
Patrick, hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. Patrick, can you introduce yourself and give everyone a little background about who you are and why you love theme parks so much?
Hi, guys. My name is Patrick Dougal. I cover everything from theme parks to movies to just entertainment and attractions in general. I used to work at Walt Disney World back in the day.
You did? When?
Yes. 2010 to 2014.
What was your job?
I worked in attractions. I worked at Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain.
Nice.
In Frontierland. But then nice. I also worked at Universal Studios Orlando. I also worked at Nickelodeon Hotel and Suites.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
I also worked at SeaWorld.
Wait, we need details. We need details.
Yeah, we did all the theme parks. We did the whole Orlando gauntlet.
What did you do at Universal?
Universal, I was a Jaws skipper.
Oh my god.
Yes, I remember this.
I closed that attraction, actually. And then I did seasonal entertainment. They had a Macy's parade during Christmas and then a Mardi Gras parade during the spring. Nickelodeon Hotel, I was characters. And then SeaWorld, I also did characters.
Oh, my God. Wait, SeaWorld characters?
Yes.
Were you dolphins? Because,
well, yeah, they do. They did have a, like, I don't think, they still have them. They had a what they called Shamu and crew. So there was a dolphin, a whale, like a sea lion, a polar bear. They also have the license. Crew. They also have the license for Sesame Street. So I was Bert, Kirby, Grover.
Oh my god! Which one was your favorite?
Grover.
I used to fun on Sesame Street.
Yeah. But those were my Orlando days. Now here in California, in LA, and a Disneyland local covering the parks here, and then also just fun movies, TV, entertainment.
Did you do the college program, or did you just start working at the... No, yeah.
No, I went to University of Central Florida, so I was just a little part-timer.
How did you find the YouTubes? Like, what's your YouTube origin story?
I just watched YouTube. Like, I was a very avid, like, 2007, mm-hmm. 2008, like, very early stages of YouTube.
Yes.
And I was like, well, when I moved to Orlando, I was like, well, I'm at the parks now, so now I'm just gonna like film myself at the parks, which at that time was very weird to do, and you got lots of looks when you're just talking to a camera.
Well, for sure. Even just taking a picture of yourself was like kind of
I mean, Instagram didn't even pop out around until 2012.
Yeah. Wait, can I ask who was the YouTuber that you're watching the most in like 2007, 2008?
I was very into daily vlogs. So yes. I watched CTFXC, Charles and Ally, and the Shay Carl family.
Oh my gosh, Shay Carl.
Yeah. way back in the day.
Nice. Before their scandal.
Yeah, we don't talk about them anymore.
All right. Well, should we move on into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture news?
Yes. Obviously, right. Patrick is well-equipped for this
He's
episode.
He's an expert.
Yes, as you noticed, the books weren't really on my list of things I covered. So.
Today, we are covering parks, so it's all good. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Natasha, you have a huge chunk here.
I know.
What is this?
I needed all these notes. Okay, so for the Jermaine fanfic fandom, okay. Patrick, have you heard of like Manicold or anything like that?
No, but I'm only... Is this Draco and Hermione fanfic?
Yes!
Ridiculous.
How have you not heard of this?
It's huge.
Oh my god. Okay, you're gonna get an education today.
Listen, the only Harry Potter like fan, well, like I guess you'd call it fanfic, was like obviously Star Kid in a Harry Potter musical.
That's
what I was very into.
I was very into that too. And I didn't really read fanfic.
Okay, well, I was very into fanfic like starting like the Twilight days, and then a friend told me about Draco and Hermione. I was like, oh, I gotta read more of that. Okay, so it's recently boomed ever since like the pandemic, and it's because of this one book called Manacled, and it's huge on AO3, and it is a like Handmaiden's Tale retelling of Harry Potter, like the end of the book. And it's very long, it's very sad, but very good. And everyone
really
got
selling it.
Everyone got very obsessed with, well, because it's just as good as like Handmaiden's Tale. You know, like you watch the show, you're like, oh my God, this is captivating. Same thing with this book. Okay. So the author has got a publishing deal with Delray Books, which is the people who did Red Rising.
They've done a lot of books.
Yeah. So she gave the author Sinlin Yu gave an update on her manuscript, and she like took a picture of it. And I'm not kidding. It's huge. It is a huge manuscript. Wow. And she goes, after being rewritten almost four times, so she's rewriting the whole Manacled, taking Draco and Harry, taking all the Harry Potter of it out. You know, like this is what they did for 50 Shades of Grey when it was used to be Twilight fan fiction, and then they republished it. So she's like, after being rewritten almost four times, I managed the remarkable feat of ending up precisely 306 words longer than Manacled, which would be around 1,100 pages in a standard U.S. hardcover. And Christine,
how many words? Is it 200,000 words?
She has like almost 300,000 words.
No.
Yeah. She goes, my enabling. So, Christine, what is the standard size?
A standard novel, like if it's a contemporary, is between 90,000 and 100,000 words.
What about
standard
a
novel, if it's a bigger fantasy, you're looking at like 130 to 150. Okay.
Yeah. She goes, my enabling friends have assured me that some people want books that can be used to provide both emotional and physical trauma, but I suspect that in a few weeks it will be coming back with the gentle but stern instructions to take a scalpel to my prose and endeavor to become at least 50,000 words less verbose.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Sarah J. Maas, or if you're Cassandra Clare, if you're like, you know, George R. R. Martin, you write as many words as the book
needs. It's going to sell, right?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. If you're Outlander, oh my God, Diana Gabaldon.
So this is her first novel. It'll be called Alchemized. We don't have a date yet, but she talked about how... Because I think it's so interesting, the reworking of a Harry Potter canon, like something where it's like truly set in the magical world and then having to rework it for your own fantasy and world building.
Yeah.
It sometimes doesn't always stick the landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully like a magical world is... I don't know how it would be easier to translate than like a Star Wars world, like that other one you were talking about. What was that other one called?
The Raylo one. Hurricane Wars.
Hurricane Wars. But I mean, if world building is world building, so if she can just make her own magical world, it'll work.
A good book is a good book, but sometimes it's interesting because it's like I only really like these books because it has Draco,
Harry
and
Potter stuff. Yeah.
So if
you're reading it,
yeah. So if you're one of those, make sure to download Manacled before it's gone. It'll be gone at the end of the year from AO3, and that way you can determine which one you like better.
Can I ask you, AO3? Does she get like when YouTube videos are there like ads? Does she get any money?
No,
nothing.
No, because it's IP. You can't make any money off of it, or else it would be shut down immediately.
Not even like the little ads on the website. That's crazy.
And that all goes to the owner of the site to keep it running.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. There's two more Germani books that are being published. So Julie Soto's, she's already a published author. She has a Germani fic called The Auction, which is like also super famous in the Germani world. And that's being published on July 8th. And it's also leaving AO3. This year, so if you want it, it's going to be published as Rose and Chains. And then my favorite Germaine fic writer, who wrote The Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love, Draco Malfoy and The Mortifying Ordeal of Being Love, is also publishing a book. She says it's not the same, it's different. Like, she didn't work the Draco Malfoy or blah, 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 being in love. But she made a different book called The Irresistible Urge to Fall for Your Enemy.
I like that.
Yes. That's also coming out in July. And the two authors like made a little meme, the Zendaya meme from with the movie, the tennis movie that just came out.
Challengers.
Of like one of the boys is one of the book and the other boy is one of the book. And they're like kissing Zendaya. So it's funny because it's like it both coming out at the same time.
Nice.
Anyways, that's the update in the Jermaine book world.
Patrick, do you have news for us?
Enthralling. I do have some news. I have some exciting news. We are finally getting our very first live action movie from Universal. If you've been following, the How to Train Your Dragon live action is coming out next year. And apparently, reportedly, the first trailer is attached to Wicked, which is obviously coming out this weekend.
Wait, did you see? I saw the first look. I saw a picture of Hiccup.
Yeah, there's a picture.
Yeah.
The trailer will be attached to Wicked. Spoiler, it's kind of already leaked online. But if you want to see it officially, don't look for it, though. Yeah.
I don't want to see any trailer, I think. I wouldn't be surprised.
You go see Wicked, it should be attached to that. So get there early. Watch the trailers.
What if you're seeing Wicked in IMAX? Because sometimes they don't have... IMAX doesn't have trailers.
Usually it has trailers, yeah.
Yeah.
That's only if it's a screening, usually. Moving on here. If you guys watch Nobody Wants This on Netflix with Adam Brody and Kristen Bell, I think everyone maybe has watched it by now. It's so good if you haven't watched it.
Have you watched it?
You haven't? It's so good! Oh my God, it's excellent. Okay, well, season 2 starts filming in February, so that's really exciting. So hopefully by the end of next year, we will get season 2 released on Netflix. That's for... Woo. We don't have to wait like 50 years in between seasons.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even think I talked about this, but reportedly, Bridgerton isn't coming back until August 2026.
Oh, I think you did say that like a while ago, but not like the exact date. You just said 2026.
That's so far away.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised.
I've also never watched Bridgerton.
Oh my God.
Patrick.
Missing all the Netflix hits. Okay, today in Taylor Swift, I don't know if any of y'all saw the random clips from people online who were at the Toronto show, but she performed the Grammy-nominated song Us with Gracie Abrams mashed up with Are We Out of the Woods in Toronto, which is exciting. Hmm. She still hasn't announced reputation, which is sad. She's got 6 shows now left in the tour, in the Eras Tour. And then the Eras Tour is supposedly over. There are conspiracy theories that she'll show up in LA again, but like she hasn't.
I have a question. I don't follow a lot of Taylor Swift news, but this has something to do with books too. Has she ever played the Hunger Games song? Mm-hmm.
She has. She has Eyes Wide Open. Oh, they're no safe and sound. Yeah. She's played both. But as a surprise song. As a surprise song. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And they're great.
Well, yeah, she had to re-release them too. Right? With Red? No, when did she re-release them? With 1984?
1989?
Jesus. 1984. That's a popular year.
I know. It's just funny to hear in the context of Taylor Swift. I don't know exactly when she released those. Maybe with Fearless? I don't know.
She released them in the middle between the two.
I feel like they might have been in the beginning. I can't remember. Anyway, in other Taylor Swift news, she released the cover of the much-anticipated physical version of the anthology of TTPD, the Tortured Poets Department. We've all been waiting for the extended edition of the Tortured Poets Department to be on CD and record for 1,000 years. Yeah, and there's
talking
a picture
about the
of
book
her.
For a second. I was like, no, the book is not much anticipated for me.
I mean, I'm gonna try to get it. But the thing about these, the book and this anthology, the physical version, it's in stores 11/29, so on Black Friday, and it's online 11/30 the next day, but it's all like while supplies last. So like there's a limited supply of the anthology CD and
why aren't they just continuing to print them?
I don't know. It's annoying. Why? How dare you? I don't want to go on Black Friday to fucking Target. Jesus Christ. I don't want to die.
Tasha, your face is telling a whole story.
I don't know what's happening. But every I'm episode, glad y'all are happy.
Every episode, Christine has a Taylor Swift
Today in
news.
Taylor Swift news. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But we're talking, you know, okay, so TTPD came out and she released the
April 19th. Okay.
Thank you for the date. She released like 30 tracks.
1984, correct.
Yes. She released like 30 tracks, but the CD, physical CD, only has the first half of it.
Yeah.
And so now she's releasing the whole thing on a CD.
And vinyl.
Which is very important for Christine because she only plays CDs in her car.
Well, also, I just
she collects
want
them.
It. Yeah, I want it. But anyway, on the cover of this version, she's like holding her neck and looking up at the sky, and it says all is fair in love and poetry. So it's that. And her Christmas collection is on her website. And I really like all of the Christmas stuff, but I haven't bought anything. So I'm being
you know what
good.
I want?
What?
I really want the acoustic set piano as an ornament.
Oh, yeah.
Since I made my dress.
Like $30, which is
that's ridiculous. Well, I did just buy two ornaments at Disneyland for $30 each.
Oh my God. Really? Are they little or big?
They were like size of a donut. Size
okay.
of a donut.
This one is like this size, like an inch tall, I feel like, the piano. That's what it looks like on the website, at least.
Oh, and we have huge news this week. Are Those Forking Fangirls merch is live on our website. So you
Yay!
Can go to thoseforkingfangirls.com. We have friendship bracelet t-shirts that say Those Forking Fangirls that you might have seen us wear at RomanceCon. And we have sweatshirts that have like the TTPD logo, except it's TFF. And the second F is unhinged because the show is a little bit unhinged. And it's black on black, so it's like super cool. And the friendship bracelet shirt is in two colors, purple and pink. So very exciting. ThoseForkingFangirls.com/store or ThoseForkingFangirls.com. Just scroll down and you'll see a store link.
Yeah, it's in the header too. So my three goes only $25. I'm definitely getting one.
Yay! It will charge you for shipping, but like we wanted to charge the least we could with the amount of like print stuff on it.
My three goes, I'm so traumatized from Taylor Price's.
I know. Can I just say, I was at Sabrina this weekend and I bought a t-shirt for $50 and then it was freezing and I bought a sweatshirt for $85. I felt conned.
In
I felt
what
swindled.
World?
In what world? I know. What? I mean, like, I love Sabrina Carpenter, but I don't want to spend, in any world, $50 on a t-shirt or $85 on a sweatshirt. Excuse me.
All right, last thing I want to talk about is this book that makes a perfect Christmas gift for anyone who likes books or romance or love or the beach or reality shows the stuff in books like trips that you like, Second Chance Love. It's called Attached at the Hip, and it's available now wherever books are sold, and there's a link in the show notes. And it's my book. I'm an author. Hi, if you're new here, I write books, and this is my favorite book, child, and it's out now. And also
she's written three, so this is the third.
Yep, there we go. And so if you have read it and you've enjoyed it, it's also really, really helpful to me and my author career if you go review it on whatever place you digested it from. So if like you got it from Amazon, or if you got it from Barnes & Noble, if you read it on Audible, like leaving a review is super duper helpful because that's how they push the book to new readers based on reviews. So thank you very much if you already did. Oh my God, Deborah just ordered a merch. So exciting. Yay. All right. So we are going to roll on into our main discussion now, but real quick, we want to thank everybody out there listening. We love our podcast fam. Thank you so much for being a part of the Those Working Fangirls community. If you haven't already, we'd really appreciate it if you follow the show for free in your favorite podcast listening app. So like on Spotify, you can just click follow, or on Apple Podcasts. Or if you like the visual version of the show, hello, we are on YouTube. YouTube.com/@ThoseWorkingFangirls. You can subscribe for free there so you never miss an episode. And we have a Patreon. That's how we are able to do this, because we don't have sponsors for our podcast. It's not cool enough. They're only in the big, big, big podcast. We have cool people supporting our podcast. Viewers and listeners like you. So thank you so much for that. And if you want to check out our Patreon, we have really fun perks over there. At the $5 level, you get the show ad-free. You get to come to the recordings and be a part of the live discussion in the chat. And you get our half an hour extra show after every single episode called Fangirl Tea Time, where we dig into funny stories of stuff going on in our lives. We can dig a little deeper into things that maybe we're not comfortable sharing with the main audit, like everybody, but like with our tight knit group of patrons, we talk about that stuff. And it's really, really great. So if you become a patron now, you get 98 episodes worth of content of
99
Fangirl Teen Time. Oh my God. Well, yeah, 99 today. 99 episodes. Crazy times. And you can do a free trial for 7 days if you want to test it out before you commit. And then if you do want to commit for a year, you get a 16% off discount instead of, but you can do month to month if you have commitment issues. It's okay. We appreciate any and all patrons. Thank you so much. And there's two other tiers too. Okay. So main discussion is coming. If you're a patron, we're rolling right on in. If not, we will see you right after these messages. And we're back. All right. So today we're talking all things Disney and Universal, our favorite and least favorite parts, our favorite parks in the parks. And I thought we should kick off this discussion just like getting a vibe for what vibe we personally all look for when we go to a park. So what kind of park person are you, Patrick? How about you kick us off? Since you go to all the parks.
Sure. Yeah. I think just like any entertainment, whether it's like books, movie, TV, I think theme parks are just another way to escape. So I kind of use it as like an escape, and also just
they're
to
like
immerse.
Your books.
Yeah. Just as also like a way to immerse yourself in a different world, in a different area, escape the normal day to day. Whether that be when you're in at the park, through the rides, through the shows, through food, just atmosphere. I think I just use the parks as like escape and to immerse myself in a different place.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. What about you?
I mean, I definitely do the same thing. A little fact about me, I have never been to Orlando or Florida for that matter. Was never flown there from Disney. I never took the trip. I am going next November, so I'm excited. Woo. Finally. But I grew up at Disneyland. It was the place where my parents took my brother and I. So there's so much nostalgia around Disneyland, especially from just going there like as a child. Like we would just go so casually. Like it was just a part of our lives, like our daily lives. Like my mom would just, you know, take us on a stroller like in the morning, and then, you know, have like a little walk, have lunch, and then come home. And did that like my entire childhood. So casual, so fun. It was like a park, you know, like how your parents would take you to the park down the street. Well, yeah. We got to go to Disneyland, and it's such a privilege. My whole family had passes. So like aunts and uncles and cousins, and sometimes we would just see them there. We're like, oh, you're here. And then we would just hang out all day. And it was like so magical and so fun. And then, you know, sometimes after my dad got off of work, we would all just go to dinner, watch the fireworks, and then come home. So I think theme parks for me is like so steeped in nostalgia. But now as an adult, I am like a vibes versus rides girl. Like I just love going just to like walk around, do my little hot girl walk, try some food, watch a show, watch some character interactions. And like, that's my favorite part about theme parks, really, is just the environment. And I know that there's been like a lot of talk about third places. So have you guys heard of this concept?
Yes. Yeah. It's like a third place to work or be.
Yes, to be. So you have home and work.
House. Yeah.
And then there's a third place that you visit constantly. That's
like
usually
a coffee
more like
shop or the library. Coffee.
Yeah, it's usually more social. Like you don't have to like tie work to it. And so that's what Disneyland at least is for me. It's like my third place that I'll go to be social and do something to get myself out of the house or out of my work zone.
Mm-hmm. So I'm coming at this from like the tourist perspective. You guys are like definitely coming from like, I feel like locals perspectives on parks, right?
Yeah.
And I am a person who would never like buy a season pass to a park because when I go, I like to go as like an event. And like, I like to visit like my favorite fandoms, like my favorite parts of going to any of these, like going to Disneyland is going to the Marvel area now. Like, it just like feels so cool to see that. And then going to Universal has always been like going to the Harry Potter section now, which is in Orlando is just like so freaking magical walking into Diagon Alley. So I want to do the rides. I want to like maybe see some like of the fun shows and stuff. I want to like vibe in the areas and stuff. But I have had like such mixed experiences in my childhood going with like one of my parents is very impatient. So like I don't have like really great nostalgic feels for like Disney because I've had so many like very angry experiences there. My best experiences are like later going as a young adult with Disney people. So that's how I'm coming at it. Like I'm coming at it from a perspective like I'm going like once a year, twice a year maybe. And like so when we go through all our favorites, it's like the favorites if you're going for like one time, not like all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want to like move this into like, so what is your favorite Disney park? Because I think there's so many Disney parks that maybe we have to do that separately from like Orlando. Not Orlando, Universal, obviously, because Universal has like kind of two lands, I mean, two sections, not a million parks. What's your favorite Disney park? What's a like core memory that really stands out to you from that Disney park?
I feel like this was such a hard question because it's like one of those things that like constantly also changes. Like obviously I think like Natasha, I grew up in South Florida, so going to Walt Disney World was always just a part of my life growing up. So that was my first Disney experience, was Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the first time?
I don't know if I remember the very first time, but I do remember going when I was young. Like, I definitely also went, this is very deep lore, but I also went during the 25th anniversary of Magic Kingdom where it had the castle cake.
Oh my god, I went there too! I was there!
I have pictures of me in my yellow rain poncho because they used to sell those, like, iconic yellow ones. I remember going through Toontown at Magic Kingdom.
Like, 97?
Rip. Yeah, it was definitely, like, late 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, like, obviously Walt Disney World will always be my first. Obviously, now I'm living in California, so, like, Disneyland is my home. And I always say, like, now I'm, like, I love being a Disneyland local and visiting Walt Disney World than the other way around. But I would say, objectively, my favorite Disney park is Tokyo Disney Sea.
Wow.
It is, I think, it's objectively the best Disney park, and it's one of my favorites because I think when you don't live next to that park, you long for it more too.
What makes it so special to you?
I think it is the most immersive Disney park. The thing with everyone always will tell you Tokyo Disney is the best because it's actually not owned by Disney. It is licensed. The whole Tokyo Disney Resort is owned by the Oriental Land Company. And they just licensed the Disney. So Disney actually doesn't have a overall say. They kind of just buy Imagineering and like, they're like, we want to build this. And they're like, okay. And they have no budget. Disney is very budget friendly. The Oriental Land Company just is like, yes, we will throw as much money as you need. Just make us the coolest thing. So Tokyo Disney Sea is one of the most expensive Disney parks. I think it was $6 billion.
Oh, my God.
It's also one of the largest Disney parks.
I thought you were giving us a ticket price, and I was like, $6 billion.
Wait, how much are tickets to Tokyo Disney?
Oh, cheap.
What? Really? Well,
cheap because the US to yen is not great right now.
Oh, yeah, it's like half, yeah.
But, yeah, for a one-day ticket to either Tokyo Disneyland or Tokyo DisneySea is roughly between 50 to 60 US dollars.
Oh, wow. My God.
What? That's the price of my Sabrina sweatshirt.
Literally,
the Sabrina sweatshirt is more expensive than going to Tokyo Disney.
Is that why you've gone so often? Because it's just so affordable?
Yeah, and it's just the best. Like, obviously, the most expensive part of Tokyo is getting to Tokyo. There. But once you're there, everything's cheap. So it kind of balances out. Like, to be honest, if you were to take a family of four to Walt Disney World right now versus it would probably be cheaper to go to Tokyo with even with the plane ticket than dealing with the prices of Walt Disney World.
Why don't we gonna go to Japan?
I want to go soon.
Yes, objectively, Tokyo Disney Sea is my favorite theme park, but I like the other ones obviously for nostalgia reasons.
What's the difference between Tokyo Disney Sea? So do you have to get park admission to either? It's kind of like Disneyland and California Adventure type of thing.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
And then Tokyo Disney Sea, what's all in that park? Like, what's your favorite attraction there?
Well, we're going to get to that when we get to my favorite attraction in any Disney park, because it's in that park.
Okay.
But the coolest thing is, like, you know, like Disneyland, like, if you take Disneyland, Magic Kingdom, Tokyo Disneyland, they're all based on that Magic Kingdom hub and spoke kind of deal. Tokyo Disney Sea is just so unique, too, because I don't know if you know this, but Tokyo Disneyland Resort is built on Tokyo Bay, so it's actually on like the harbor where there's the ocean is like right there. So Tokyo Disney Sea is on the ocean. They literally just have a seawall blocking it, and every land or area is based on a harbor. So you just everything is based on like a sea.
Oh my god,
like,
that's so cool! So they have a whole scary.
They have a whole Aladdin area that's just called Arabian Coast. They obviously have the Little Mermaid Land. They have an adventure land called Lost River Delta. It's all just themed around harbor and the sea, which is why it's called Tokyo Disney Sea.
Wait, what if there's like a weather event?
Tsunami?
Yeah.
Those happen.
Why would they make it right on the water then?
I know. Scary.
That's where the land was.
Can I ask you?
Oh, go ahead. I have another question.
Well, mine's not about Tokyo. Is yours?
No, I was going to ask how many parks have you been to?
All of them.
All of them?
Hong Kong?
I did Shanghai and Hong Kong this year. So those are my last two.
You did those this year?
Yeah.
When did you go?
Wow.
June.
I don't remember seeing it on socials. I do. Yeah.
When did you go to Paris?
My first time I went to Paris, 2019.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But I went again this January. I've done all the parks collectively this year too.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, because I went to Paris in January, and then I did Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong in June, and then obviously Disneyland, Walt Disney World.
That's wild. Okay, as an Orlando native, if someone was doing a trip to Orlando Disney for the first time, but they could only hit two parks, what is your rec other than the regular Disney World?
See, this is it's all about variables. Like, are you going with adults? Are you going with kids?
Okay,
are you trying to go for vibes?
Adults first and then kids.
Okay, adults. Well, I will say, I'll give you my Walt Disney World order.
Rank. Yeah, give me the rank.
My favorite. Epcot is my favorite.
Me too, okay.
Then Animal Kingdom, then Magic Kingdom, and then Hollywood Studios.
Wow, Hollywood Studios is really low. I used to really like MGM, but
correct.
I loved Hollywood.
Well, I loved MGM/Hollywood Studios when it was about the whole movie. And studio aspect, and now
what is
it's
it like
kind
now?
Of become the IP park.
What does that
like,
mean?
Like here's Galaxy's Edge. Here's Toy Story Land. Here's like it's not about the movies anymore. It's just like here's IPs we have that we're just gonna make lands about. And
throw
it
man, that's a mad bummer. All right, so Animal Kingdom is like way up there.
Animal Kingdom is my second.
And Epcot. I have to go to Animal Kingdom again because I haven't been since it's been Avatarified.
Yes. And that's the best part of it.
I know. That's what sounds like the best part of it. All right. Let's roll.
What about
on
you guys? Yeah. What is your favorite
Natasha,
park?
Natasha, what is your favorite park?
Being a Disneyland native, growing up there, I've only ever experienced two parks. So this is what my favorite time of day is to go. I love being at Disneyland in the morning because of all the characters. They're out and like you could be walking around and just run into them. And I heard that that's not really a thing that you can do at Disney World. Like they're not really out and about like that. So I think that's very special about Disneyland. And I think recently Christine, Chloe, and all of our friends went in April for Chloe's birthday. And it was so fun just like walking the parks like in the morning. And then we're like, oh, there's Mulan. Oh, there's Sleeping Beauty. And it's just, that's so fun for me because I'm a vibes versus rides girl. And then at night, I love DCA, Disney California Adventure. And
when you used to see DCA, I just thought you were talking about politics. And you randomly just throw DCA out there. Like, what is that, DECA?
DECA. Well, that's like how what the cast members used to call, like what they call Disney California Adventure.
Yeah, I'm not a native, so I don't know.
Yeah, no,
everything is abbreviated. Like all the parades are acronyms, like ACF, A Christmas Fantasy.
I've never heard of that.
Come on, get with it.
And I love the nighttime vibes at DCA. There's alcohol at California Adventure. There's dancing typically. There's World of Color. I love going to dinner at Lamplight Lounge. Like, that's my vibe.
What
is
food festivals?
The what food festivals. So Lamplight Lounge is like.
Explain for the people who don't know anything.
So there's Pixar Pier. And when they rebranded
it, so that's an area in DCA.
Yes. So it used to be called Paradise Pier. And then they rebranded it to Pixar Pier. And so that's where we have like what California Screaming used to be is now the Incredicoaster, all of that. Mm-hmm. So they themed the whole thing to Pixar now.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And there's Lamplight Lounge, which is like one of the three sit-down restaurants. There's two. Like the two that like you have a server. There's Carthay Circle and then there's Lamplight Lounge, right, in DCA?
Yes. Is there one more?
So it's a restaurant you can go to. You can make reservations or you can do a walk-up. And they have the famous lobster nachos there. They have all the yummy, good alcoholic drinks. I love a pina colada there. And it's right there on the water, like right in front of World of Color. So if you get a reservation at like 8:30 or later, you can sit there and watch World of Color.
There's also the Trattoria.
Oh, the Trattoria. Yeah. That's like me.
If you want pasta.
Yeah.
I have never heard of this Lamplight Lounge, despite of us. We've never gone
we've
to
never
it.
Been
I
there
was
with
there.
You?
No.
To go
I don't
sometime.
Think. I think feel like you have to make a reservation ahead of time, maybe, and we'd never get to do that.
Usually we're with too many people. Like, if there's four people, I can get us in. Really, I can sweet talk them.
Nobody's talked about a sweet core memory about these places, but I guess you talked about the cake.
Castle. The castle cake.
That wasn't really a memory. It was like a mem.
A mem.
I don't have a core memory about Epcot, I feel like, but that is my favorite Disney. I think because that's my favorite Orlando park because it was so calm and no one could get mad because we were waiting on lines for too long because there were really not many rides back in the early mid-90s when I was a little kid going there. And then when I was older, I loved going there and like looking at all the little stuff, all the different countries. And I wish they had something like that here because that is the place to go for like the vibes in Orlando. It's so chill. They have that like drink around the world thing that people do and like flower festivals. There's just flowers.
They almost, we almost made one out here. It's called Westcott.
Westcott?
Yeah.
Wait, when was this? Was this
where?
Yeah, a while ago. But the land was in Long Beach, so it would have been like far from.
Oh my god!
Yeah, what? Yeah. That would have been closer to me ish.
Yeah, look it up, Westcott.
Westcott. I do have a core memory of the first time I enjoyed Disneyland, and it was when I went with my cousins and their parents, and we went at like 7 a.m. and me and Paul, my little brother, we had always just been like in angry Disney World where like everything is like, oh god, there's a 2-hour line, we're just gonna be hearing things the whole time. But we had never been on the log flume because the line was always too long, so Splash Mountain in Orlando, and we went up to it and it was just empty, and we went on with my cousins, and then we got off, and then we just went on again, and then we got off, and then went on again, and I was like, oh my god, this is crazy, 3 times in a row, and it's so fun. And my uncle had ran to the other side of the park while we were doing this to get fast passes for the next ride, and it was back when you can get like fast passes, and as soon as you use your fast pass, they could go run and get a different fast pass. We did so many rides. I've never done so many rides in my life. Every time I went to Disney World, it was like 2 rides, and it was like, I'm sick of this, let's go. Going early was like crazy. I'm
trying to think of like a core memory. There's so many. I think recently my favorite thing is now taking my nephews or nieces to Disneyland, and my blood nephew Bodie, who's my cousin's kid, we took
blood
him
nephew.
Blood.
Blood. My blood brother.
We took him, and he was like, he's old, he was 3 and a half, so he was like old enough to ride most of the rides, and we've taken him like since he was an infant, so like this was like the first time we got to like experience like big boy Bodie with us. And Alex and my cousin Miley had been talking up the Matterhorn like the whole time we were there, and so we finally got to it. It was like one of the last rides we rode that day, and we're like, all right, we're gonna ride the Matterhorn, and there's like a big abominable snowman, he's gonna come around the side, and he might be really scary, so just like be aware of that. And so we all get into the Matterhorn, into the ride, and we're going. Bodie's in the front, okay? And you know how freaking like jiggly and rough that ride is? So his mother, Sailor, is like behind him, and we're going, okay? And he's being jostled about. She's got to hold him in front because his head's going like, whoa, whoa! It was maybe a little too early to put him on that ride. Alex is, I can hear him in the background being like, the abominable snowman's coming, the abominable snowman's coming. And we go through the whole ride, and he's just like, his whole face is just like in shock the whole time. And we get off the ride, and he just starts immediately sobbing. We're like, uh-oh. Maybe it was not a very good idea. And we start, he's like hugging his mom, and like we start walking towards the stroller, and he's like, when can we go again? I'm like, honey, you're crying. And then from that point
it's
on,
it's a happy cry.
I was like, yeah, he just didn't know what to do with his emotions. But like that evening, we went over to my aunt's house, and he just would not shut up about the abominable snowman. And he was like, we're like, oh, where did you do today? Oh, I went to Disney. I saw the abominable snowman, and my ears came off.
Reliving the ride was too much for him.
he told everyone about the abominable. It was so cute. That's probably my like newest fave core memory.
Yeah, that's very cute. My favorite LA park is California Adventure. I didn't say that, but it is the better park, I feel like, in terms of rides.
I think they're on par.
They're all good. I just really like the Guardians ride. It's not at the other park. All right. So let's switch over to Universal here. We've talked a lot about Disney. Universal definitely like doesn't have that many parks. So like your favorite area can also count. And is there any fun memories you have of the Universal parks and special spots that you would recommend?
I'm going to go first because mine's boring. I've only ever been to LA, and my favorite part is Hogsmeade.
It's the best part by
my
far.
Favorite memory is when Christine and I went, and we all dressed up in our dapper looks, and we were the witch, the housewife witches, the witches of Hogsmeade,
the desperate housewives of Hogsmeade.
Yes, and we were in our little like cute little 1950s
like dresses,
and our victory rolls.
I liked when we went there for like Crimes of Grindelwald, and we saw Jude Law. We had a lot of vibes, I feel like. What about you, Patrick? Do you have a favorite Universal area?
Well, obviously, Universal Orlando was the first theme park I worked in. Yes. So that's very special. Obviously, I worked on the Jaws ride, which is no longer there because Diagon Alley took over.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is that where it is?
That's where it was. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But I will say, I'm gonna be that person. I will say my favorite Universal park is Universal Japan. because it's a mixture.
Everyone has to go to Japan to see your literally. Favorite.
It's a mixture. If you took Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios and made one park, it's like pretty
What's
much
Islands of Adventure.
That's the better
the second park in Orlando.
Part of Orlando, yeah.
So you have Universal Studios, and right next to Universal Studios, you have Islands of Adventure.
Is it like a water much... park?
No, it just has like all the bigger rides. It's much bigger.
Oh,
yeah. If you took that and combined it, you can get. It's basically what Universal Japan is. Plus, Universal Japan is still the only Universal that still has the Jaws ride.
Oh shit. That Jaws ride scarred me as a child.
Good.
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 I remember just being so scared of that shark popping out of the water.
Jaws in general was
terrifying.
But
I will say probably by June of next year, yeah. Epic Universe will be the best park.
Okay, what exactly
is Epic Universe and where is it?
Whoa. I'm about to blow your mind.
Have you not been
following the news?
No. Okay, well...
Epic Universe is Universal Orlando's third theme park.
They're gonna have three.
Yeah, it opens May 22nd, 2025. Right now, it has four lands. Well, five if you count the whatever, like what you would consider Main Street. But it's all they're not lands actually. They're worlds because it's Epic Universe. So all these new are worlds, and you start in Celestial Park, which is like this huge hub and spoke kind of park area. There's going to be like fountains and whatever. And then there's going to be portals into four different worlds. We have Super Nintendo World, which
do you jump through like a shining light?
No, you just go through those like this big arch looking thing.
Okay.
We have Super Nintendo World, which is obviously already here in Hollywood, but that will also include the Donkey Kong expansion.
So are they going to have a ride where you're on the thingies and the thingies?
Cart.
Oh my god.
And it has a false track, so the track you on
the jumps.
You have to do the jumps. Yeah.
Wait, how?
Magic. I'm so excited. Wait, you haven't even gotten to the best part yet. You're going to freak out if you don't know any of this stuff. Okay, so the next world, I'm going to save that one for last, but the next world is Dark Universe, so it's all Universal monsters. So we have Frankenstein, Dracula,
classics.
Wolfman.
Yeah. Are they deleting those from the other park? I guess they don't really have much there.
No, that's only there during Horror Nights, but there's a huge E-ticket attraction that's going to be similar to Forbidden Journey, so it's on the Kuka arm.
Oh.
And it's going to be what Forbidden Journey is without the screens. So it's going to be all the animatronic parts, but no screens. None of the bubble screens.
Yeah.
There's also a Wolfman spinning coaster, so that's going to be part of Dark Universe.
Ooh.
Then we have a full How to Train Your Dragon world, so you're going to go into the Isle of Berk. There's a whole dragon coaster. There's going to be a whole show.
There's going to be dragons.
You eat in the whole dining hall of the Vikings.
Oh my god, with Viking food. I love how Universal does like all the food.
There's gonna be a meet and greet with Hiccup and Toothless. There's gonna be a bunch of dragons around.
Is Toothless gonna be there?
You have to see. And I don't know, you probably haven't seen this footage, but they're already testing. They have dragon drones, so they're gonna be actually flying dragons above the land.
What do you mean? That doesn't sound safe.
There's test footage of it.
Projections?
No, it's a real freaking dragon up in the
dragons
air.
Dragons in the air.
Wait, what do you mean? Like an animatronic
we'll
dragon?
We'll have to send you the TikTok.
Yes. And then finally, probably the most you're most excited for. There's another Wizarding World. Wizarding World Paris. So it's actually the Fantastic Beasts section. But the ride is based on the British Ministry of Magic. So you're going to take the Flu Network to the British Ministry of Magic, and it's the full Wonka elevator.
Yeah, with like the green tiles, right?
Yeah.
Like they're remaking the whole thing.
The Ministry of Magic is going to be there?
Just this morning, literally 3 hours ago, they released all the pictures inside the British Ministry of Magic ride. And they're doing it full scale. So like with the whole statue situation.
Wow. Oh my God. The bad statue or the good statue? Is it going to be the Voldemort statue?
No, I think it's the good statue. but the ride is basically, it's Umbridge is on trial, and then she escapes, and you have to, like, chase her through the British ministry.
On the elevator. Is it, like, a Tower of Terror?
It is, yeah, it's Tower of Terror if Tower, you know how in Hollywood Studios, the Tower of Terror, like, moves forward?
Kind of? Yeah.
So it's like that, but it's not a dropping ride. You kind of just... It's a ride system that's never, it's brand new. So it's a brand new ride system that's never been done before.
So we don't know what it is yet.
Wow. This is crazy. Where is this? How do they have room for
Orlando?
This?
For anyone who's on the video version.
Visual.
That is
size. Oh my God. Fuck. It's probably going to feel like when we went into Rise of the Resistance for the first time when we saw the big at-ats. Right.
There's a new house elf. This is Umbridge's house elf.
Oh my God.
Poor buddy.
I know.
And then here's what the ride system kind of looks like.
Ooh.
So very exciting stuff.
Wow.
And they have room for two new expansions. So Epic Universe eventually will get two new expansions. And I'm calling it right now because of the amount of marketing and how well Wicked does, I do see an Oz world coming to Epic Universe.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Wait, I don't understand. How did they fit this? I thought they were out of room.
It's a new park. It's not close. Well, it's down the street from the current location. So you're going to have to take a bus.
You can't just walk over there like you can for the other
park. It's behind the Orlando Convention Center. So it's close, but not like super. Not
it's like
distance.
Disney. You'll have to take a
It's like
bus.
Walt Disney. Okay.
So is this like a whole new park where you have to have admission to, like a separate admission to?
Yes. Okay. It's a whole. It's actually the size. If you took Universal Studios and Islands and combined it, it's that park. This is the largest park.
Oh wow! And how long have they been working on it?
They've been working on it since 2019. 2018, construction started. Wow. COVID, it was actually supposed to open this year, but COVID delayed it by a year.
Question. Wow. Is the Diagon Alley in the Islands of Adventure section, are those both, like, is that at the Universal? I can't remember how it was divided.
Islands of Adventure has Hogsmeade and the Hogwarts Castle, and then Universal Studios has
Diagon Alley. Okay, okay.
So it's not all together, like they're in different parts?
Well, you can walk, you can take the train to the other
section.
You can
take the Hogwarts Express.
The Hogwarts Express.
But you have to have a two-park ticket.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And you can walk, like, around. Like, it's not like you have to take a bus like Disney World. Like, it's like Disney, DCA.
Can I tell you another rumor that you might be excited about?
What?
This is not official at all, but I've heard rumors that already they're going to, this is going to be the Epic Universe, that they might be creating the Great Hall for a full dining experience.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Where?
It'd be an Epic Universe, but yeah.
Wow.
Listen, Universal only has to get its hands on the Lord of the Rings IP, and then they can start making Lord of the Rings worlds. You don't have to fly out to New Zealand anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right, my favorite Universal area park.
After that tangent.
Well, it flows right in because mine is by far like the Harry Potter Diagon Alley. The first time I went, I have like such a core memory because I got flown out there for like, I don't know, was it like Wizarding Weekend or something? Mm-hmm. With Tessa and Brizzy. And that was the first time I met them. And we had like that area that night like blocked off. So no one was in there. And I walked in there like in the dark as the fucking dragon was going, and I just started to cry. I was just like,
Because it's so immersive in comparison to the other park where you feel like you're in a park. You feel like you're on the, like, in the world of Harry Potter. Because the walls are so high and there's, like, different alleyways. And, like, it's nice and wide so everyone can walk around and the ice cream shop is there. And, like, it was just the coolest ever. That dragon makes it feel so real. And it's on top of the bank and on Gringotts. And it's so cool. And even Gringotts is, like, so... It just looks like the bank in there. It feels like they built the whole Gringotts. It just feels so... That area is so vibey in comparison to, like, Hogsmeade in Orlando, which kind of sucks because it was their first experiment and it was so narrow that, like, anytime I go over there, it's like you can't move because there's so many people.
Yeah. Is it different from, like, the Hogsmeade here?
Yes.
I feel like it's not.
It is. No, okay. When I went here, I was like, this one's so much better. It's like... Oh, okay. It was like they tried to make it to scale of, like, the movies, but, like, it's not viable when there's so many people walking around. You just feel smooshed because you're not actually in Hogsmeade.
Yeah, because I was at the Harry Potter experience in Evesden. Is that what it's called? The actual sets? And the real Diagon Alley there feels small because of the set.
No, it's really, really cool. And no, we have the better Hogsmeade for sure here in LA. It's much chiller. Should we go into the pros and cons of these different parks? Like, what would y'all say are the pros and cons of Disney World as a whole?
I think the pros are it's very accessible for all body types and disabilities. I think Disney, that's my main thing between the parks, is that Disneyland make sure that you have the best experience possible no matter your body size or no matter what disability you have, and I think they take pride in that, and I think their cast members are all very equipped for that. Yeah, that's my big thing.
For I have Disney parks for me, just as I think anyone growing up with Disney movies, it's always just like a big nostalgia thing. Like, I met, like, it was one of those things where, like, you see this Disney animated movie and I can go meet this princess, or, like, I can go ride their story with, like, Peter Pan or something like that. So I think Disney sets in on the big nostalgia factor on their whole brand. Yeah.
I think as, like, a little kid, it is the coolest ever. But this is, like, I feel like they had characters at Universal too. Like, yeah. But, like, the experience of going with my little autograph book and running around and getting autographs from all of these characters from my movies was so magical. I don't know if I see... Do kids still have autograph books?
Yeah.
They do? Yeah. Okay, cool. Just haven't been in that realm for a while. But that was so exciting. And I guess that was everywhere, though. It was just like the characters felt real.
And I think... I think the variety of Disney is better. I mean, I think Universal's always seen as, like, the more grown-up theme park. And I think they're getting better. Like, they just added the DreamWorks Land, so they're getting more kid stuff. But I think just the variety of rides and the amount of rides kids could ride at, like, a Disney park is better than what Universal has to offer.
I think that's why I liked Universal better, because it had better rides. When I was, like, a little older, I was like, all the rides at Disney are boring.
Yeah.
I feel like there's no crazy Disney ride that's too crazy for a kid, except for the Upside Down roller coaster.
Or Guardians. Well, we took Bodhi on Guardians.
I think they could go on Guardians if they're brave enough.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that one that goes up into the sky and drops at, like, random...
That's
like Six Flags and stuff.
They used to have that at California Adventure, and then they...
Oh, yeah, they did.
They took it down. It's now the...
Emotional Whirlwind.
Mm-hmm. You know what the scariest ride at Disneyland is? Goofy Sky School. That thing...
Goofy Sky School?
Yeah,
no.
Because you feel like you're going to, like, come off the tracks.
The scariest is by far the swinging Ferris wheel.
Oh.
I love that.
Yeah. Ride. But it's absolutely not too scary.
No, you're in a metal... I always am convinced every time I go on it that there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to fall in the water.
I feel like it's
and
probably...
I'm going to be trapped in a metal cage.
I feel like, though, it's probably reinforced with earthquakes in mind since it's in California.
No, like, don't trust it.
Yeah. My fear is always the swings. I've never been on the Disneyland swings, but like I've been on so many swings at like different places. I always think that they're going to detach and fly off and I'm going to fly into the air and die.
Yeah.
My fear is like getting stuck on a ride and like having to like walk off of the Incredicoaster.
Like if you're a roller coaster.
That is terrifying to me.
Yeah, well, hopefully you would just wait until they
They make people, I've seen it several times, they make people like evacuate the ride and you have to walk down all the scary steps. Terrifying.
How are the steps not have railings or something?
No, they do, but it's terrifying.
Oh, I had to do that like last week. I got evac'd off of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And I had to walk. I got had to walk down the large hill lift.
Oh, the my large God. Hill. What? What? You mean like the drop?
Well, yeah, the lift hill for it.
Oh, so you were was on it all the incline going up?
Was it? What do you mean? Was it wet?
Where, like, it... did your feet get wet? Cause
no. The stairs weren't wet.
So did you have to go walk all the way up and then walk all the way down?
Well, yeah, we got. Well, what happened is. I guess there's hidden pathways to get from one section of the ride to the other, but we got evac'd off the very first lift hill. But the fastest way to get off was to cut through, and then basically from the very first lift hill, there's a door that opens to the second lift hill. So we just cut over and walked down those stairs.
Oh. No, thank you.
I have only gotten stuck where we eventually start going again. Knock on wood.
I had to be walked off of, I think, Haunted Mansion. That was fun.
Yeah. I just distinctly remember we were stuck on the end of the Pirates ride in Disneyland, like on the incline out of there, where they were like, yo, ha, ya, ha, like over and over so fucking loud for 45 minutes. I was just like, I am going to lose my fucking
mind. All right. What are some of the cons of Disneyland?
I could start. coming from all of us who've gone at an early age, I think it's Disney has gotten so complicated. Everything is scheduled. You have to buy, like, if you don't know how to like go through this app in Lightning Lane and schedule. It's just like, I remember when you could walk up. If I wanted to go to Disney today, I couldn't because I don't have a reservation.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just go to Disney on a whim anymore. Everything is just so scheduled now. And
aren't the rides scheduled too? Like, that's the impression.
If you buy Lightning Lane, you have to schedule when you want to go on this ride. And I'm like, I don't know.
It's so much like you're just in your phone on the computer. Like, that's why Disney World has always felt so, because they started it earlier where you could get like two rides and you have to reserve them like 5 months ahead of time. And
The last time I went, it had just started, and we had no idea, like the group that I was with, I think it was at like a Playlist, we just walked around and left like because nothing was available.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Well, and now we've got virtual queues now. Like, people who are coming into the parks, like, have no idea that you have to, like, virtual queue up for Haunted Mansion now. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you have to, like, research now. Like, you can't just go to the parks anymore. You have to do some heavy research, especially if you're not a local. Like, people are spending thousands of dollars on their, like, one-year trip from Wyoming and not knowing what they're doing.
Wyoming. Yeah.
That's so sad. You get there and it's like, wait.
The Smith family of four from Wyoming is not doing all this research.
They're screwed.
My thing that I hate, which I forgot about, are the parade traffic. Like,
I hate that too.
Oh my God. Like, not being able to go certain places because the parade, like the what is it called? Like, the crowd
is blocking in the way with its line sections. Yeah, and like all the people
are, and if you go the wrong way, then the cast members are yelling at you. They're like, no. And I'm like, ah. Like, just let me go through. And like, at that point, and like, you have to really figure out, like, all right, if the parade's coming this way, it takes like almost 45 minutes to an hour to like make it through the park. You got to like go hide out in other lands so that you don't run into the main street. But it's Main Street all the way up through
Small World.
All the way up through Small World. So it's like to be able to like cross into Tomorrowland is rough.
I didn't get to say my one pro that I had down for Disney.
Oh, sorry.
Uh-oh.
It's okay. It's not a big deal, but they have really cool mugs in their shops.
Oh, my God.
I've got some of my coolest mugs.
Fun.
The merch be popping off.
Yeah, cons of Disney. I hate how in Orlando, you can't get to any park without taking a stupid bus and waiting on a stupid line.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate how it takes forever to get in and out of a park. Like, you have to cross a moat or go on a monorail and then walk a million years and then finally get into the park after a big, huge line. And then getting out is the same way. And I'm just like, I just want to get to my car, please. And you have to take that stupid little train once you get out to the parking lot.
That and that's exhausting.
Well, even in L.A., you have to take that stupid little train thing to the parking lot.
It's a tram.
I hate those stupid trams.
I'd rather be on the tram than when we had to walk during COVID. That was horrendous.
I liked that walk because I didn't have to get on a tram.
Feet hurt.
I just was wearing comfortable shoes.
Also, I don't know. I was another thing that makes me so mad. Because Universal does it so well. Even Walt Disney World has the better scanners. Our security at Disneyland is so bad. I don't know why we are still in the primitive era of metal
bag
scanners.
Chips. Yeah.
Where this guy yesterday was dissecting everyone's bag. And I was like, just be Universal and get airport scanners. And it goes so quickly. Or Walt Disney World has the free walk where you just kind of walk through and they kind of just pull you if they need to pull you. I have no idea why Disneyland is in the barbaric era of security. Like, why are we searching bags? We do not need to be hand searching bags.
Yeah. I have a con for the Disney World. I don't know if it has changed since 2012. Good chance it has. But who knows? I just remember when I did my trip there we stayed at the Boardwalk Hotel and every food place had the same food. It was like, I remember one of my Disney friends being so excited to take us to the Pizza Planet. And it was the same pizza that was at every little stop that you could ever get food at. I was like, every food is the same. This is not special. I had this yesterday at a booth on the boardwalk. And every single place, I was like, it's the same. It's a monopoly and they just have the same food in every place. It's different in LA. I feel like they have so many different food places. I was getting so mad at the food in Orlando.
Is the food objectively better in Disneyland than Disney World?
Yes. 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 100%.
Do they even have the churros in Disney World? I don't remember ever having a churro.
Yeah, they do, but they're not good.
They're not good.
No. Yeah, the food is way better. Well, the only Animal Kingdom has good food and Epcot has good food. Hollywood Studios and Magic Kingdom,
awful. Yeah, Epcot
awful.
Has good food. I remember going to the restaurants at Epcot. That Italian restaurant was good.
I just have to say, back to the security thing, the Orange County Fair even has updated security systems.
What?
There's no reason we are in the barbaric era at Disneyland. So dumb.
Also, we could pare down on security guards. Everyone hates being a security guard anyways, being as that Alex was one, and then Becca's husband was one, and now he's working the trains.
All right, let's move on to the pros and cons of Universal. The pros. I feel like a pros is I do see less children. It's nice. It's just more relaxing to have less screaming children around when you're an adult going to a theme park.
I don't have a lot of pros around Universal. I think I need to go experience Florida.
Yeah, I think you've only been to the worst Universal, which is Hollywood.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But I do have to say my biggest con with Universal is that I can't fit on a lot of their rides. They are not accessible for my body type. It's so fucking ridiculous. Even when I was a size 16, 18, I it was hard to be able to ride rides. And that is the normal size for people.
I have a counterpoint to this.
What?
So the thing with, most of Disney's rides are based out of Imagineering. And also we talked about Universal's rides, their roller coaster stuff, are all third party like bot, so it's not really Universal creating these rides, it's whatever the third party that they bring in to create the ride. And the thing with Disney versus Universal is, again, the variety of more thrill rides. Because of the thrill rides, they have more safety precautions. And I think actually Disney got caught up with this last year or so when they brought Tron over, because Tron is not accessible at all because it was created in China first, which is
very small people,
very tiny people. Yeah. And I think actually Disney's gotten worse with their disability because they cracked down on their disability passes.
They
A lot of people.
Well, because people were abusing it.
They were abusing it, but now, like, apparently the disability pass is like so strict now that even with doctor's notes, you can't even
what?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, they only accept, like, if you have, like, a form of autism, things like that. Like, it's not even, like, physical disabilities at all.
But, yeah, Universal has gotten into definitely, I do think a lot of their rides are obviously not for every person. And it's based on whatever manufacturer they use for that, like, safety precaution. So it's, I think because Universal's rides are technically more intense than Disney, I think they get more heat because they have to have stricter safety precautions because the ride is more intense.
Well, I do have to say, for the Tron ride, they did make a cart accessible.
They have
for people.
One modified seat. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Universal has that as well, where they'll have one row. Yeah. Hulk
Where?
Has it, Hagrid has it, Velocicoaster has it. They have modified rows.
Okay. Because the Hogwarts ride, they don't here in LA.
Yeah, for Forbidden Journey.
Yeah, they don't.
Another pro of Universal is that they have the fucking coolest rides. I will never forget the first time I read that Mummy ride. In Orlando.
So Orlando Mummy's better than Hollywood.
It's so good. But
have you been on Hagrid's?
I haven't been on the one side by side. No, I haven't been since I was there. I need to go. Good. I know. I went on the stupid hippogriffs and it sucked.
Yeah, not a good ride.
But that Mummy ride, the first time I went on with my sister, we had never been on it before. And I think I was like 17 and she was like 14 or something. And the fire, like, you know that section where like it catches fire and then it shoots you backwards and it's really hot in the fire section. It's never been like this again. So I think there was something that went wrong and we were stuck in that fire room for like 30 seconds, like feeling like we were going to die. And then it was so cool when we shot backwards and it was like, we got misted and stuff. We're like, whoa, that was crazy. It was like, we were going to be burnt alive.
I have my two little pros. I think between Disney and Universal, I think Universal's creation process is so much faster because my favorite thing is Disney will be like, we're thinking of making this land 10 years from now. And everyone's like, okay. Meanwhile, Universal, like midway through building a park, they won't even announce it. And, like, they built a Velocicoaster. There was a coaster being built and everyone's like, what is this? And the Universal's like, we're not building anything. You see nothing. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we have a new coaster opening next month. From the time, I will give you the full time frame. It took Walt Disney World 5 years. They broke ground on Tron 5 years from when Tron actually opened. In that time frame, Universal will have built a brand new theme park with four worlds, city. 10 new rides. Like, it's insane. I think, I hate the creation process or the amount of time it takes between Disney and Universal. Also, I love that Universal has ever-expanding IPs, where Disney's like, we have all of our properties, and Universal's like, we like Nintendo, we'll buy that. So I think they have a variety of ever-expanding IPs.
They have like more of a broader appeal for like random adults that don't like Disney, so that like other people will go with you who won't come to Disney, I feel like. Like family members and shit. But also the Jurassic Park ride. amazing. As like a child who was obsessed with dinosaurs, going to Universal for the first time and like seeing they had like a Triceratops like dead on the ground, not dead, but like sick, like they had in the movie.
Yeah,
I was just like, this is so cool. And there was the dinosaurs on the ride felt like you were in the movie, and it's like a log flume. I really loved that ride. And of course, Harry Potter and the Universal had just had like these awesome roller coasters as like a teenager. And they had like that log flume, not log flume, that thing, the river rafting. The river rafting thing.
Oh, in Islands of Adventure.
It was like Dudley Do-Right's the river rafting, which I think they used to have at like Six Flags or something. I hadn't done that in a while. You get like soaking wet, so you have to be, it has to be a hot day, but most days in Orlando are disgusting, so it's fine.
I have to like say that. A con between just Florida and California is the weather.
It rains like in the middle of every day.
I just don't understand how people can have a good time when it's so sweltering hot over there and humid.
That too.
You go on the river rapids and get wet.
Every time like I see like our Orlando friends out and about in the summer, I'm just like, that makeup is gonna go in like 5 minutes.
And it does.
But like you adjust to the heat a little bit when you're in it all the time, so it's not as like deathly.
I guess Patrick, you're a Florida Iridian original.
Yeah, I mean it's not even the heat, it's the humidity more.
Yeah,
it's
that's what I meant by heat.
You just wet. You're just all
it's
the time.
Ew. It's wet. It's like soup.
Oh, that's like, I'm excited to go to like Tokyo, like trying to go like to the winter time because it gets so cold there.
It snows.
And it's so fun.
It snows on the rides.
That's so cool.
It's crazy that they built a park near where tsunamis can hit it and it could be hit by snow.
Okay, and they built a park in Florida where it's hit by hurricanes like five
times
a year.
But they did put it into the middle of Florida so it wasn't near the coast. They thought about it a little bit.
Hey, Anaheim isn't that far in from the beach either.
We're moving into parks quickfire. So we're going to... I'll say, like, which one has the best this, and then we can go around and quickly say what we think has the best this. So best theming, does that just mean decor?
It means, like, okay, let's take, like, Avengers Campus compared to, like, Harry Potter Land. Like, what do you think is...
Harry Potter.
Right,
Avengers Campus is a little sad.
Or actually, a better one would probably be like Star Wars or Galaxy's Edge versus Harry Potter Land.
Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like, I do think Universal's better at their theming than Disney is.
Will say, I think Pandora, which is the Avatar area, has
I want to go to Pandora.
We haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
Really good theming.
Yeah. Okay. But Harry Potter, not to switch to food, but like, going into the Three Broomsticks and the Hog's Head and getting that food, that like British food, is just so cool that I feel like I don't see that type of like theming, that intense food theming other places. Lands? What is, I mean, they all have lands.
Like within Disneyland or lands in general?
Like lands, like the best lands within the parks, like Disney versus Universal.
I think Disney's is more defined.
Yeah
I mean, obviously Islands of Adventure has pretty defined lands, but I think Studios is based on, like, they have a Hollywood area and they have an LA area, and then they kind of have a kids area.
Yeah, like, well, I'm just basing it off
like
of
DCA. It just blends together to
that too.
Yeah, it does blend.
Disney has more defined lands in the regular Disneyland at Disney World, but Universal does have like very defined areas, like the Harry Potter areas.
Yeah, I think Islands of Adventure is the most defined because you have Marvel, Dr. Seuss, Harry Potter, Jurassic Park.
Oh yeah, I hate Dr. Seuss and
Is that for like the kids?
Yeah, but it's also like so weird over there. So Dr. Seuss-y. All right, vibes.
I feel like there's so many variations of these parks that it's hard to be like Disney or Universal. It's like this Disney park or this Universal park. What's the best vibes park in general, like of the sub parks? Epcot. Epcot.
I haven't been, but I will agree with you. That's probably the best one.
Because you just walk around World Showcase and it's a vibe.
Yeah. Music? What is the best music?
I also say Epcot. I think the front entrance of Epcot has the best score.
I don't have them memorized, so I couldn't tell you. Natasha, what do you think has the best area of score?
I think you know the classic, like, Main Street, too.
Main Street.
Song and,
Yeah, I like Jurassic Park theme.
That, too.
I don't like how we're, like, in Paint the Night. It's the same song over and over and over and over and over.
No, that sounds bomb.
Sorry, wait. Is it Paint the Night? Is that the right thing I'm saying? Can I see you again?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yes.
It's a great song, but like it never ends.
See, no, my worst is A Christmas Fantasy because the the whole loop is 2 minutes long and then it starts all over.
What is the loop of? Like what song?
Christmas Fantasy. And then it just starts over. The whole parade's 2 minutes long, and then it's the same song every 2 minutes on loop.
I love that song.
It's the worst.
Someone said when we were there on Friday, they're like they've been playing the same parade for 30 years. Like, that makes sense because I'm 30.
Yeah. And the song is only 2 minutes long. God. So when you loop it, it's just a 2 minute loop.
Wait, it's really scary that I'm more than 30.
Same.
Where
are we at? Rides.
Merch, food, rides. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I skipped rides. Rides, Universal. I don't know.
The best rides for me are at Tokyo Disney Sea.
Give us your favorite ride.
I'll tell you my favorite ride. My favorite ride is Journey to the Center of the Earth.
What?
Yes.
What do you do in it?
So... you know how every park has like an icon? The icon of Tokyo Disney Sea is this giant volcano. Mm-hmm. So the ride is.
Wait, like the one in that Pixar opening? It's a little short.
Like lava?
That has a face. Yeah.
It doesn't have a face.
Oh, okay. Go on.
It's just a big volcano, and it's the area, because it's all harbors, is part of Mysterious Island. So it's all Jules Verne theme. They have two rides. They have Journey to the Center of the Earth and then 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. But Mysterious Island, it's basically cars. Like, it's the same ride system as like Cars and Test Track, but instead of like in a car, you're in this like steampunky mining vehicle with like a big drill on the front kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you slowly descend down to the center of the earth, and it starts very like E.T. where you see like little cool aliens and you're like, oh, look at all these creatures, and then an earthquake or something happens and you get diverted. It's all slow in the beginning, so it's like Cars where you're kind of like just going slow. You get diverted, and then you get to a underground ocean, and there's like lightning and stuff. It's really cool.
Wow.
And then there's like live fire, and you finally turn a corner, and there's a giant, this is one of the biggest giant animatronics, there's a giant lava monster. He's like a lava lizard, and he like yells at you, and then you start speeding, and you go up out the top of the volcano, and you do a little
drop,
and it's the best ride.
I mean, I do love Rise of Resistance. I think before the cannons stopped working.
Yeah.
The cannons used to go like, so you're in the ride and it's basically
they've
like
just given up on fixing them.
Yeah.
You just go like in, and yeah, they used to go like ba boom, and then you would have to go in between and then boom boom. Very cool. I love that ride. It's so immersive. You feel like you're in Star Wars. It was, I don't know, it's just so cool. And also the line is never that long. Like everyone's like, oh, the line's that long.
Because it's a like, long line adventure.
Right. It's a long line adventure. Yeah. Because, like, you go into one room, and then you go into the little ship, and then you go into
another
line. I kept
being like, is this the ride? Is this the ride?
I'm like, yeah, we're in the ride. And then
the line
another
is
room.
Part of the ride.
Which makes, like, the attraction feel so much longer than it actually is. And it's still a long... I wish the drop was a little bit more intense, but... That's my only critique.
I want to talk about the best rides at Universal because I also love the studio tour at Universal. Mm-hmm. And I love how there's like an earthquake and these like big water things explode and like fall down this ravine and like the water comes crashing. Like the special effects section of the Universal thing is so cool for people who like movies. And in California, they take you through a bunch of sets and stuff. In Orlando, I haven't been on since I was like 8, so I can't like be 100, but I do remember feeling like I was really like, it wasn't as movie themed, but I felt like I was really gonna be like run over by water caravaning down this hill into the little cart that we were in. Like, and it's just, I don't know, it's long. You get like a really well-rounded experience on that ride. And it's just called a studio tour, so you think it's going to be kind of boring.
I remember going to Halloween Horror Nights when I was 12 and have yet to go back. I would like to go. I want to go for the, yeah. Patrick is wearing a Halloween Horror Nights sweatshirt. I would like to go back just for the Death Eaters, okay? That's the only reason why
they got rid of them this year.
What? They did?
Where are all the TikToks from?
In Hollywood, they get rid of them. They're in Orlando still.
Why? Wow.
Budget. I don't know.
Why wouldn't they get rid of one of those other creepy people that walk around?
But I was saying, we went on the studio tour for Hollywood. I was
wait,
like, I'm like,
during Horror Nights, don't they just drop you off? Because that's what they did to me.
Yep, didn't know that. And we were like, oh, this is going to be safe. Like, we can just ride this, and then we'll be on. Then you get dropped off. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
They do rename it to Terror Tram. So I don't know what your thought process was.
I know. I got scarred on that thing. I was like 24 and I was so horrified. They just kept chasing me with chainsaws because I was screaming. Patrick, what time do you think is the best time of year to go to an Orlando park?
This is just my reasoning, but I always like, I think the parks are the best in the fall because I like spooky season.
Okay. Well, Disney doesn't get that spooky, right?
They get like happy spooky, like friendly ghosts.
Yeah, like a little sprinkle of spooky, but not like scary, like freaking Universal. I cannot go to Universal during spooky season. That you can't walk anywhere without being harassed.
And that's the best part.
Oh my gosh, I got so scared. Okay, so I want to quickly touch on merch, because we haven't talked about that. Do we think that better? I mean, like, there's really nice Harry Potter merch, and there's really nice Disney merch.
I think it all depends on, like, what you're looking for.
Yeah,
I like both. I like both. They both. Mm-hmm. It depends what you want.
Yeah.
I think as a variety, I like Disneyland better, but for Universal, I like the like different IPs that they have that you wouldn't necessarily find like at Target or something. You know, they've got Wicked now and the Harry Potter merch. They've got like cute Grinch stuff and
yeah, it's always fun to see like what's gonna pop up in the Universal shops. Let's talk about like what ride do you think you could recommend skipping if someone's just going for the day to one of these parks? Like, what is your least favorite, least exciting one?
Oh, least favorite, least exciting.
I have more of like, I have a ride that is always long and I'll never do it. And it's only long because I think the capacity of it is so bad. Yeah. And it's Toy Story Midway Mania.
Yes.
Like, it's a fun ride. But
is that the one with the shooting the things?
Yeah, it's a fun ride, but the cars can only hold 4 people and it takes forever to load people in and out. The line's always like over an hour and I'm like, it's ridiculous.
It is not worth it. I totally agree. I put down Cars, but like it is such a fun ride, but
it does always have such a long
line. I never wait in that line. It's ridiculous. Unless you get there in the morning or you get a lightning lane like we did. You just buy $20 to get through it real quick. Then it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I think you experience it once and that's enough. Otherwise, I'm not waiting 90 plus minutes in that line.
That's always a long one too.
I feel like as an adult, I don't really care so much for the Haunted Mansion. Like, I remember as a kid being, like, amazed and spooked by it. But, like,
as an adult, I've been like, this is kind of so not scary at all.
It's not supposed to be scary.
Well, I wanted it to be a little scary.
I think I could
skip it as an adult.
Like, the Haunted Mansion feels like Pirates, where it's just, it's a classic.
Yeah.
But Pirates is so fun.
But Pirates is fast. The line is fast compared to Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion, I feel like it used to look real, and now it looks like very fake to me.
Well, you just lost your sense of imagination.
I think a lot of it has become like projections and stuff instead of animatronics.
They haven't changed much of it.
Yes, there are. I see all those projections on those things making them move.
It's always been like that.
No, it's been real.
I think you lost your sense of imagination.
Period.
I think I just have higher tech in my eyes now because of CGI.
Also, the Night Before Christmas edition of the Haunted Mansion is the best Haunted Mansion. Wait, Patrick, now that you've been to all the Haunted Mansions, which one's your favorite?
Ooh. I still do love the exterior of, like, Disneyland's, because I love the, like, the white mansion. But, ooh, I do like Tokyo. Ooh, okay, well, Phantom Manor is so different. Because that's Paris's Haunted Mansion. Because it's not even called Haunted Mansion. It's Phantom Manor. And it's like 100% different.
Is it scary?
It is, actually. Yeah, you follow this like skeleton guy who like killed his bride or something. but I like Tokyo's. It's a mixture of Disneyland's and Orlando's.
Shot says Mario Kart ride in Universal LA is a skip for me. 2 hours of waiting for a VR headset. It's a VR headset?
I've never waited 2 hours. It's AR. It's augmented reality. So you, it's the ride with, you wear this visor. It's basically, have you ever played like the Pokemon Go or Wizards Unite kind of thing? Where you kind of use your phone. So you see like the actual real world, but then they add the augmented.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. You're in a dark ride, but they add augmented digital characters that you race against.
Yeah. At Universal, what ride would I skip? I feel like I didn't really love Transformers. I loved the Spider-Man ride in Orlando, and I feel like I heard that it's gone. Is it gone or is it still there?
No, it's still there.
Okay, good. I thought that ride was so fun, and that was like the same kind of thing, but better.
I hate Hollywood Rip Ride Rocket. It's this giant red coaster in Orlando, and I
the one that goes backwards.
No, it's the one that goes straight up when you go up the lift hill, and it plays music while you.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that went backwards. I remember just looking at it from afar.
It's so not smooth, and it hurts. And I think they're gonna get rid of it. I think they lose the license for all the music like in this year, coming year anyway. So I feel like it's going away.
Which park is this in?
This is Studios.
Yeah, it looks scary, that ride.
It hurts too.
All right. Have you ever had a bad experience in a park, or do you have any tips and tricks? We'll wrap this up.
Well, I have a bad experience. When they freaking made me get off of the Hogwarts ride, and I had to go ride by myself because I couldn't fit in it. And it was so frustrating, and I cried. And I like had to go out and go back in. And they're like, I don't understand why, because they just had to push me into it. But then they're like, we got to get you off it. I'm like, oh, my God.
No.
And they're not nice about it either.
No.
Like, it was terrible. And I've never gone on it back again.
I don't know if I've had, like, a bad experience. I mean, there's been times where it's just torrential downpours, and I'm like, I'm out. I don't like wet socks. We're going to go.
See, us one timer a year just got to get a poncho and stick it out. I have had many bad experiences, but let's see which one. One time it was so hot that like we just had to like chill in the Hall of Presidents for a long time. Like you never know with Orlando, like with the rain and the hot. This wasn't that bad because we were with like all the VidCon people and it was fun. But like we got soaked on the log flume ride, and I was wearing black boots. So all the water went in my, like, filled up my leather boot, and I had to take off the boot, and like a river of water came out of it like a movie. And I was just like, yeah, wet socks in a boot, not fun. It did dry eventually, but like LA's not hot enough for it to be drying really fast. What's your best trick when you go to a park? What's like the best advice you give to somebody?
Okay. go to the restaurants and get a glass of water and down that instead of buying water, because it can be, it's free. Pre-game with ibuprofen. I mean, don't listen to me, ask your doctor first, but that's what I do because my feet hurt. And then bring a fan. That's my big one.
Yeah, mine's comfortable shoes. Wear comfortable shoes. Don't go for the cute shoes when you go to Disney or Universal. Not worth it. And maybe not boots, because if you get wet on the ride, you can never dry.
There you go. I always, always, always bring a portable charger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because you need your phone.
I never do.
I never bring it.
You need your phone all the time.
I usually bring a little backpack instead of my purse, and snacks and electrolytes. Electrolytes should just be in everyone's everyday by now, since we know they're so good for us. But definitely at the parks, you get really dehydrated really quickly.
On a hot day. Mm-hmm. I don't bring a backpack and I don't bring electrolytes anymore.
Perfect.
I bring my little fanny pack and I try to stuff it with the least amount of stuff that I need.
Yeah. Well, I try to bring the least amount of stuff too. But I mean, like one of those little backpacks, you know, so your hands are free.
I don't like those. That's why I like my fanny pack.
I don't like my fanny pack because I don't like the way it hangs on me. It like just flops forward. I need to put it on my hip to have like something.
I do a shoulder bag.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. My back starts to hurt like an old. I need to have equal on both sides. Oh. That's why I need the little backpack. All right, folks, we're going to wrap this up with a Mary Kiss Cliff.
I like how Shot says Natasha and her fan against the world.
Mary Kiss Cliff, Haunted Mansion, the Toy Story ride. Well, now you guys hate the Toy Story ride. And swinging Ferris wheel.
If it didn't have a line, then I would still like it. Let's take the line equation out of the game.
Okay, this is no the lines. Easiest game ever. I don't have to think about this.
What's yours?
I'm marrying Haunted Mansion, kissing the Toy Story ride, and throwing that damn Ferris wheel away.
Oh my God, the Ferris wheel hate. I'm marrying the Ferris wheel. I'm going to rescue it. And I'm kissing Toy Story and dumping the Haunted Mansion off a cliff.
That is insane. That is insane.
Blasphemy. I am definitely marrying the swinging Ferris wheel. That is one of my favorite rides.
Fun.
I'm kissing the Haunted Mansion and I'm cliffing that stupid Toy Story ride. When people say Toy Story or the Buzz ride is their favorite, I'm like, why?
Well, I think in Orlando when I was so much fun when I first dropped that, but not the Buzz Lightyear ride, the other one. The Toy Story
right? Midway Mania.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like the Spider-Man one better, though, now. Yeah. You get a workout.
Have I not done that?
Maybe you not. You haven't. We have to write a list of how many things you haven't done that we can do.
Apparently, you need to do Haunted Mansion again, because whatever you remember is not correct.
Done it many times, I feel. Maybe I like the Orlando one better. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Patrick, and lending all your expertise on all the parks all over the world.
I know. I didn't even realize you went to every single one.
That's wild. Where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on all the platforms at Patrick A. Dougal, and that is D-O-U-G-A-L-L, and that's all across all of them.
Wow, really? Everywhere you have the same thing? That's
Instagram,
so,
TikTok,
that's so easy.
Twitter, Threads.
Actually, I canceled YouTube. I deactivated my Twitter. We don't go on that anymore.
Okay. I'm debating doing that soon.
It's so toxic over there.
It's where I get all my Taylor Swift news the fastest. So that's the only reason I still use it.
They're about to like take over and like use your information for AI. That's the
they already
part.
Do that everywhere. Literally, TikTok is doing that constantly.
The worst.
Okay. Anyway, well, thank you so much, Patrick. Everyone who hung out with us for the recording, thanks for being here with us. Our show is edited by Alex Poulos, Natasha Poulos, and Christine Riccio, and Ricky McBrayer. And our music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. Our socials are done by Chloe Laverson. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls, at Those Forking Fangirls on TikTok, and of course on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. Thank you so much for hanging. Natasha and I are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time, which is available at the Patreon base level Patreon if you want to check it out. Thank you so much again, Patrick.
Yeah,
thank you, Patrick. It was so fun. It was
huge
so
thank fun you really... again to Walt Disney for creating the theme parks. Huge thanks to Carl Laemmle for Universal Studios. We wouldn't be here without you, guys.
No, like, we wouldn't. Thank the Academy. We release episodes every Friday. We'll see everybody next time. Bye.
Bye.